Hello, welcome back to Retirement Clarity Radio. I am your host, Scott Newhouse. I'm really excited that you're with me. You're joining me on the scintillating, exciting topic of estate planning. I know you can probably hardly contain your excitement. Keep both hands on the wheel. Don't get distracted. Don't get into an accident because you're so eager to hear what I have to say today, especially about something called probate. Now, if you have missed the last two episodes, you really got to go back and listen to them. Two episodes ago, I talked about six basics of estate planning that you need to know. Last episode, I talked about the differences between a will and a trust. And today, as I just said, we're going to talk about what is probate and why you might want to avoid it. And I said this last week, I'm going to keep on saying this. I got to really pound this point in. Most people that I speak to, you know, as a financial planner, really have not done every single thing they need to in their estate plan. Maybe they've done most of it. Maybe they've done some of it, but they probably haven't done every single piece. So if that describes you, you really got to listen to these episodes and then go speak to a qualified estate planning attorney or someone who can help you create those estate planning documents because they are so, so, so important. You know, something's going to happen to us. We're obviously all going to pass away. We may get disabled. We've got to put a plan in place to make sure that we are taken care of the way we want when we're healthy and we can make those decisions so that when we're not healthy, when we can't make those decisions, you know, it'll already be laid out. So that's why estate planning is so important. And that's why I'm actually really excited, even though it's a boring topic, I'm excited to be talking about this today. So what is probate and why you might want to avoid it? Many people that I speak to, they come to me and they say, Scott, I want to avoid probate. I want to avoid having my assets go through a court process. I want to avoid the court taking my assets. And so maybe they don't even know the word probate precisely. Maybe they don't know the exact legal definition. That's okay. But they know that they want to avoid it. And that's really important. And honestly, they're probably right in that they should, you know, be taking action to avoid it. They have probably just heard that it's something they want to avoid and they're trying to figure out, how do I make sure that my family doesn't have to go through this process when I pass away? And the reason why people get this information that they should avoid probate, and I think it's pretty good advice, is that probate can be a very costly process. It can also be a very time-consuming process. So those two things, cost and time that it takes to go through this process, are really big, the two biggest reasons why people want to avoid probate. And that's why it's talked about so negatively, you know, in a lot of media and maybe in your social circles, and why many people, including licensed attorneys, financial advisors like myself, etc., other financial professionals, will encourage that you do what you can to avoid probate. So let's talk, I'll give you the legal definition, and then I want to talk about my episode last week about trust versus wills. So the formal definition of probate is that it is the legal process by which a will is validated. And then if there is no will, it's the legal process of settling a person's affairs. And so that's a pretty good definition. If you have these assets and there's no other direction in terms of where they should go, then those assets have to go through the probate process, and it's a legal process. It's a government process run by the states, and then they're going to tell you where these assets go, when they can get there, etc. And now, as we said last week, there are ways to avoid probate. We're going to get into this later, but I just want to put this at the outset in case I put anyone to sleep and they miss this. You can avoid probate in a number of ways. If you have retirement accounts, you can list beneficiaries, primary and contingent, and those retirement account assets go directly to the beneficiaries that you list, and that avoids probate. If you have a life insurance policy, same thing. You have primary and contingent beneficiaries on the life insurance policy. When you pass away and the life insurance policy is in force, those assets will go to the people that you name. Both of those accounts and policies avoid probate entirely. If you have a payable on death or transferable on death, some type of investment account or bank account that's not in a retirement account, but you just hold it outside of those retirement accounts, and then you list it as a transfer on death or a payable on death, depending on, you know, what type of account it is, then you list the beneficiaries there, and that also avoids probate. Lastly, and there's other examples, but lastly, if you have a trust and you place your assets in a trust, all the assets in a trust avoid probate. Now, briefly mentioned this, but you have to place your assets in the trust. So it's not enough to create a trust and then say, hey, I'm done. My house, for instance, is going to avoid probate. No, you need to put the house in the name of the trust. You need to file a deed to make sure that gets done. And a qualified estate planning attorney can absolutely help you do that. So those are four ways that you can avoid probate at the outset. Wanted to make sure that you understood that probate is, you know, it's an optional process. But let's talk about if you actually do go through it, if someone in your family has to go through it, let's talk about how it works. So how does probate work? The process, first of all, when it's required, varies by state. And I'm going to say that a lot. A lot of these estate planning procedures that we're talking about do vary by state. It includes several steps, including getting a death certificate, identifying an executor or an administrator for the estate, identifying the assets that have to go through this probate process, paying expenses like any debts owed or taxes owed, and then notifying and or paying any beneficiaries that are involved as well. Next, if there's a will, the judge is going to validate that will. And for a will to be validated, usually has to have witnesses, and sometimes those witnesses have to appear at probate, and sometimes they can just sign an affidavit at the same time that the will is signed instead. So maybe they don't necessarily have to be there in person. Again, it depends. And then when there is a will in place, it usually is going to identify an executor, where all of the assets, the beneficiaries, as well as any outstanding debts and obligations. Now, this can make the probate process much easier. However, and this is where it gets a little tricky, it's also possible that someone may contest the will. And so, for instance, this is something that's happened plenty of times before. It hasn't happened with any of my clients, but it's happened before. A child might object if a new spouse is named as the executor, for instance. So maybe the child wasn't born by this new spouse, and you know they have a different parent, and they may object to something, and there may be instances where, you know, a child may contest the will, or someone else may contest the will, for instance, as well. And that can make the probate process much more complicated, as you can imagine. So that's one part of, you know, how probate works. Let's talk about the second part, which is the executor's job. And I just mentioned this term in the previous section, but how involved the job of an executor is depends on the estate and what's named out there. The executor will be named in the will, and it can be someone related to the deceased, or it may be a professional or someone appointed by the court. So there's really a lot of discretion on who the executor, who the one administrating everything is. It is the executor's job to take care of the decedent, the person who's passed away, to take care of their assets, including any that are not listed in the will or disclosed in the will. Now, in most cases, this is a simple process, particularly if the deceased individual has an estate plan in place. The executor is also responsible for taking control of any assets during the probate process in order to protect those assets, especially if there ends up being any kind of dispute. So the executor may be responsible, in addition, to hiring an appraiser to look at, quote unquote, the death value of certain assets, though sometimes the court will appoint an appraiser independent of the executor to get that function done. Now, that's one big process, which is gathering all of those assets. In addition to that, the executor must also notify any creditors that a death has occurred. This includes the bank if the deceased had a mortgage, but it can also include publishing an obituary so that any unknown creditors have an opportunity to come forward. Finally, the executor must resolve the estate. So this includes paying off any debts or challenging any that they view unfairly, that they view as unfair, as well as divvying up the assets to the beneficiaries. And if the will specifies the assets go to minors, then the executor may be instructed to set up a trust for those assets. So, you know, there's a lot of things named in that will. The executor is a really important one. And you know, you can either name it, you could have a professional do it, or the court may appoint someone for you. But it's really important to consider, you know, who am I going to name as the executor? Who's going to have the capability to do this? Maybe they don't need to be a professional or a financial professional, but they need to be someone, you know, a couple hours of time to do this, as well as the wherewithal and the knowledge to be able to get everything done. Now, the next section I have for us is who's going to pay for this probate. As you can imagine, this probate process can take time to complete, and it may require lawyers, court appearances, or both. And if that occurs, the legal fees are generally going to be paid from the estate. Now, sometimes in terms of the actual dollar amount, again, it depends on states, so I can't give you any specific advice here. You can just search your state and then probate fees on some kind of search tool, and you'll be able to see hopefully a government website that lays out what those fees are. Sometimes the fees for a probate is a percentage of assets that have to go through a probate, and you know, if it's $1 million that goes through the probate process, the state of California is going to take a certain percentage of those assets, and they're just going to say, hey, that's our fee for doing this. Other times in other states, it's a set dollar amount. But again, like everything in estate planning, it really depends on your state. So go ahead and look up what those fees are in your specific state. Now, this process can go relatively quickly, but it's not uncommon for a probate process to take up to a year, maybe even longer well, hopefully not too many circumstances, but it absolutely can. In some cases, immediate family members who are beneficiaries can ask the court to release those funds during that probate process so they can get those funds. For instance, you might be able to ask a probate judge to be reimbursed for any funeral expenses or when the estate gets settled. So who pays for probate? Yeah, it's most likely going to be coming out of your estate. And boy, it can be really costly depending on your state, depending on the assets that have to go through probate, as well as just the time that it has to go through. So it's a good idea to really strongly consider avoiding probate if you can, if it makes sense for you. Our next section is talking about what happens if there's no will. And this is called intestate. So if there is no valid will, either because the decedent did not prepare one or because the court rules that it's invalid, the state is said to be intestate. In this case, any assets left over after debts are paid will go to the closest living relative. But again, like I've said multiple times throughout this process, that depends on the state that you live in. So one, you know, Texas may say the closest living relative is different than California in terms of who would receive that money as the closest living relative. So you got to look up what your specific state says, but then also, honestly, you probably don't want to leave this up to any kind of state government to do that. And that's why it's so important for you to create that will and trust in all of these documents when you're healthy and good to go, so that you just know that those funds, those assets are going to go where you want them to go to. And let's wrap up here, talk about avoiding probate. While having a will can facilitate the probate process, it doesn't get you out of the process. I mentioned this last week and it's so important. Assets properly placed in a trust can avoid probate. Assets placed in a will do not avoid probate. Now, there's also some assets that are exempt from probate entirely. And I said this before, but I'm just going to repeat it again. Some property passes outside of probate, like life insurance policies when you name those beneficiaries, trust avoid probate, jointly owned property, will potentially get passed over to the other owner of that jointly owned property, and then payable on death and transfer on death type bank accounts and investment accounts can go straight to that beneficiary without going through the probate process. And of course, retirement accounts fall in that category as well. So if you want to avoid the probate process and protect the financial details of your life becoming a part of the public record, which I talked about last week, you really got to consider creating an estate plan that includes a trust, as well as all of these other documents. Now, there still will be details to take care of when you settle your affairs or when someone else settles your affairs that you're passing, but those are going to fall to whoever you name as the trustee of that trust versus the executor of the will. I know that's similar, but you know, just slight differences in terminology of who operates everything in the trust, that's the trustee, and then versus who administers everything in the will, that's the executor. Now, as I've said before, if you'd like to work with me, we can not only create your own retirement plan, we can also build your estate plan with the help of my estate planning partners who will put all of those documents together. That's going to include things like the trust, the will, power of his attorney for medical and healthcare decisions, and even more. If you are interested in getting started in creating your own free retirement plan, go ahead and book a time with me at startmyretirement.us. Again, that's just start myretirement.us, and you can book a time to meet with me there. But again, even if you don't ever want to talk to me, that's fine. You really got to look into creating your own estate plan, the will, trust, powers of attorney, and placing everything properly in the name of the trust. Really, it's so important, especially as you enter into this new stage of your retirement life. So that's all I've got for this week. I might have a couple more on estate planning in the next couple weeks, and then we will transition on to a new subject. Thank you so much for joining me, and have a great week. Bye. Thanks again for listening. As a reminder, you should consult with a financial advisor familiar with the specific circumstances of your unique financial situation before making any financial decisions. Nothing in this podcast is a solicitation for the sale or purchase of any securities. Any mentions of rate of return are hypothetical in nature and not a guarantee of future returns. Scott Newhouse, CFP, is an investment advisor representative of Forthright Finances, a California and Nevada registered investment advisor.